My name is Grant Vermeer, a member of the Crown Refs community. My first year as a high school official, that's when I found out about the Crown Refs community. Having my military background, I love being a part of teams. I want to be a part of a group that has high standards, that holds each other accountable, but also supports and loves each other, and has a desire for everyone in the group to grow. If you're a young referee or someone who loves refereeing and wants to be a part of a group, this is an amazing community for you. I feel like I've gotten better as an official. I've had a community and friends and support through this process, which can otherwise be a little bit lonely as you're on the road a lot. The culture is amazing in here. Make sure to come check it out.
Serve the game.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
We're going to keep working on that.
Yes, I love it. Love your dedication, bro. And I see all the help that you're providing on Discord on a daily basis. So thank you for your leadership there. All right, Mr. Grant, I want to welcome you to Game Notes 42. I'm excited to record with you. This is going to be great. I've been posting you recently. I put some clips up of you, and now the IPR is coming full circle there. So do me a favor, for the purpose of editing, because I don't want to edit and I don't want to go back and chop things. Let's just try to keep the conversation going as long as we can. If you have questions, as I like skip through next plays and stuff, because that would be a big help. I always like to start off the session, because I haven't heard your feedback of my feedback yet. So just take me through your digestion and processing of the report, maybe what you learned about yourself or kind of what you picked up.
I think it's interesting the things that you pick up when somebody's critiquing you, nitpicking like certain things, right? And I think for me, there was one point where I had beck and subs, like I didn't even realize I was doing it, but you had like called out the fact that like I kind of give like the hand wave in, like the come here instead of like a full beck and on, right? Like little things like that where I'm like, I would have never even remembered like the fact that I was doing it. It just like sometimes it gets like casual, right? Like in just normal and passing, and you don't catch yourself doing those things, right? So like that was a big one. I think something that I definitely appreciated feedback on, and it's been something that I've been trying to figure out as I develop, my movement patterns and what feels comfortable as a referee, is I'm definitely too far onto the court in a trail position, right? Like you're mentioning, I think that was a good call out, something that I've been conscious on. And again, early in the season, I was definitely a little bit out there too much, and so trying to find that right positioning was good. And then call outs on moving a little bit too much in the lead. Again, I think this is a stylistic difference, because I've had so many different opinions, and trying to find the right style for me has been great. In Texas, we rotate a lot, right? It is beat into us like, hey, we mirror the ball here, and we rotate when there's a strong side play, right? Like find a reason to rotate. And so I think trying to find and taking your feedback on and in full like receive mode and receive every year is finding the right balance of what works well for me and works well with the crew that I'm working with that night, right? And so I think hearing some of those things from movement to signals to actual play calling, all that stuff was extremely helpful, because it helps when I'll go back and look at my own tape, but to have someone actually take a look at it and actually talk to me, it's great, right? It was super helpful.
I'm glad you took all that away. We go very deep here, and I'm glad I could point out things that might not have been on your radar. That's what it's all about, like you mentioned, when you get another set of eyes on there to kind of help you diagnose those small things. And all the small things obviously equate to the bigger picture that we're all going for. So yeah, I thought it was a really good game to watch. There was a lot of plays for me to check out. So I guess we'll just, I don't know if we'll get to all of them. We'll try to get to all of them. Definitely, let's make sure we don't skip over any ones that you wanted to discuss. Sure. But I guess we'll start 1945 half rotation. Let me just, I lose everybody's video when I share the screen. And I want to be able to see you guys. What do I do? Hit gallery? What do I do?
This episode of the Crown Refs Podcast is brought to you by RefereeStore.com. To save 15% on all United Attire products, enter CROWN15 at checkout. We hope you enjoy this episode, and do us one last favor before you listen. Have a great rest of your day.
Last, nice finish.
I don't know. All right, let's look at the rotation. 1945, half rotation. Oh, so this wind up becoming a trend. Did you get a kick out of this little comment? Because it was like I was predicting maybe where it could go. I had a hunch, and that wound up being like the biggest critiques. I love my hunches. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about your gut and trusting your intuition. But in general, let's see my comment. One of my observations is officials rotate too frequently. So I know you're getting a ton of feedback in Texas about it. Man, one of my biggest observations in my career is we over rotate, and it causes more problems and incorrect calls than I think it does getting the play right. Because I don't know, I feel like my percentage of reffing on the strong side is exactly the same as it is reffing on the weak side.
Yeah,
me personally.
I'm with you. And you know what's funny is that like I'm still so new in this journey and early on in my career that like I'm discovering these things as I go, right? Like I'm trying to like actively take in data, you know, game by game and try and figure this stuff out. Right.
Yep.
And go with it. So
let's say here, you're in line with the ball, crosses over. Now the main point is settling. See how you're not settling in that B spot. The B spot is where we park. You got to park it, which I would just recommend parking it. I've rotated in my 10 games, I don't know, maybe 10 times total. It's just, I think the game is changing a lot where we don't need as many rotations. Maybe in the original three-person system, it was post, get over, you know, and now it's not that. The ball is moving around the key rapidly. So 1929 trail positioning, did we just miss that? Yeah, let's scroll back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was taking the primary matchup here, kind of like in the backcourt, following him over, and then you know I'm a little late to getting to my actual like front court trail position, right? Handing it off to the C there.
Even in a two-person game, I would very rarely ever come onto the court here unless there was like a dive loose ball that I had to hustle and kind of close down on and be a presence there. But besides that, this is just on the court. This is where the players go.
Sure.
And also have the awareness to know like your partner is accepting this play, so you leave it alone as soon as it starts going to his shaded area if we were looking at a mechanics diagram.
Yep.
Because then it's going to potentially put you out of place the next position to maybe see a jump shot. I like how you step down. Good adjustment. Let's go to 17-14, travel in the lead. I thought this was what did I write here for travels in the lead?
I think you felt like I could have had one on this one.
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever heard like don't call a travel in lead or we shouldn't be. Have you ever heard that in a three-person game?
I have. I've heard that. I think, you know, some of the pre-games that I've had with officials out here, right, is, hey, you're focused up top on contact and fouls up top, but like we're saying, if you see a travel, like it's a travel, right? And so I would say I don't think I'm refusing to call a travel out of the lead. I'll put it that way.
It's a good not even rule of thumb. It's a more of a coverage play. The trail and center are going to get majority of the travels when it's going heading towards the basket or as the lead is, as you said, is looking up top. But I don't want that to hold back the officials that are listening and say when they see an obvious travel, then that goes in their mind like, oh, they told me not to call it. Like someone's got to get it. We got to get the play right. It comes down to just getting the plays right.
Sure.
And there's a small percentage of time the lead will have a travel. I had one today in lead in a two-person. I missed one today in lead in a two-person. We had 5 technical fouls in our game today.
Oh, my goodness.
Was this high school? Yeah, it was high school. Well, was it middle school? It was high school. The level was more middle schoolish.
You guys do two-man in high school out in New York?
All the time. It's funny you should say that. Yesterday was like my first ever regular season high school game in this league I work with three person. Mm-hmm. And it was just a random because the school wanted to pay more because it was kind of a big game for them, I guess.
Sure.
But we do three person in the playoffs.
Interesting. But yeah, not Texas, even Texas is all three man.
All
dude.
Three, yeah.
All three man.
Mm-hmm. It's like that a lot of places. Did we miss that? Where's the travel? 14. What do you think here? Is that a walk?
I felt I wasn't 100% certain, which is why I let it go. I thought it was awkward because he kind of comes into a, in my opinion, a legal defender, and there's contact, and it just goes right. But I think he steps left, right, and then just kind of gets bumped, and it slows down, and it looks awkward. I let it go because I wasn't 100% certain.
Well, that's a great answer. I have nothing else to say to you because that's a great answer. I'm okay with you missing stuff as long as you don't guess. Let's look at your point. 16:30, out of bounds, point and lead. I just want to give you credit on stopping the clock with your right hand in order to point the direction with your right hand as well. For a split second, I saw your left arm move. And this is a play that can get officials crossed up by using both arms instead of the one. This tells me you're aware and mindful of these little strategies to keep your presentation top notch. Hey, now. That was a nice brisk rotation by you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's see if you should have rotated. Did you stop at the B? You're fast. Pedro, you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, did you see Grant run? He's a good runner.
I haven't had a chance to stop and look. I just got into the house, so.
I'd love to see him and Carmelo race.
Okay.
Carmelo.
I think he might be there.
I got my money on Carmelo. Bigger.
You know, Carmelo strides on his lawn.
I want Carmelo to win. No offense. I do.
None taken.
So you went a little wider there to open up to the post. That was good. Just be conscious as it closed down here. All right, good. Rebound, step back. I like that. Coverage, good. You see that little tweak, though? That told me a lot. Mm-hmm. Your left hand was about to go up, and you just had the patience and awareness to – you probably heard the clip, right? Did you find that – did you utilize that clip there?
Paul, I hear your voice in my head all the time while I'm reffing.
Yes.
That's what's keeping me going. No, I'm sure probably even in this game I'll mess it up again, but it is something that I'm conscious about, right? I try and do my best to really keep it single-handed, but you know, I make mistakes.
Listen, it's not frequently. Even a real, it's not even a mistake. Sure. It's something that only us ref nerds really notice, but again, trying to contribute to the overall big picture. Let's go to 16:09. We got a pass crash. Okay, your partner has a rebounding foul. Remember to have a big picture perspective when calling fouls as the offensive player, or while the offensive player is passing the ball, especially in a position to score a basket. Ask yourself, is this contact that I can ignore? Hold on, let me read the rest of this so I can refresh. Is this contact that I can ignore as team A is about to score? I don't have an issue with the block call as it's either a block or a flop. Think about this strategy next time you have a similar play type. Here's some extra thoughts. Great job getting your eyes to the secondary defender. Remember to find the feet first, then upper body. Proper usage of the pass-off signal, approved college signal, but use block signal first. Raise fists when signaling the block.
Yep.
A lot there. Now let's look. So that's a great skill set. Like once you see the pass, it's like eyes. Like, as soon as this pass happens, you're thinking, all right, next defender. Because you know he has a lane. You know he's about to drive. Well, who's the next defender stepping up? Got him. There he is. Okay. Tell me about the contact. Is that something that we had to stop?
Probably not. Could have been a little more patient with that. Again, I think, you know, full transparency, my mindset, this is my second ever college game, right? It's my second ever college game.
And I don't want to hear that. That's an excuse.
It's an excuse.
Just throw it out.
I was a little antsy. I kind of wanted to get a good whistle on like some contact, right? And I think a block charge play for me was like, all right, hey, I have a collision at the basket. He passed it off and it wasn't an immediate layup. Like, I got a whistle on it, right? And so I think I was kind of searching for that first whistle to kind of get it out of the way.
Makes sense. Yeah. And obviously I'm just trying to eliminate every single signal, excuse sure. that any of us make, myself included. It's just something I'm constantly trying to improve and hack at. I understand being a little excited, and these plays can be a little challenging, and then they could speed us up as well when we have a player that falls down underneath the basket as players are getting ready to score. Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable for me. I've had these plays where it's like you got the coach shouting while this guy's down, he's scoring. Did he land legally? So there's a lot there. So I can understand maybe having a quick whistle for safety reasons. Just be conscious of all those points we made with, on a pass and on a scoring opportunity, having that patience. Connor posted a really good play the other day of that pump fake up and under where offensive player pump fakes, the defender from behind jumps pretty much over him.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see that play?
I missed this one. I haven't seen that one. The play sharing channel's been going off the hook, man.
Yeah,
there's so many plays. I barely care. If I'm not on for an hour, I'm
right.
17 messages behind.
Well, don't feel overwhelmed. Like, you got to catch up to every thread. You know, there'll be plenty more plays. But yeah, that's good that a lot of our officials have a lot of film and are posting it. But check it out if you have a chance. You could just search Connor and like look at his post. I think he posted on Ref Talk, but really. Really good play. I don't know how we went off on this rant, but I think it was somewhat of a similar play type. That's why I thought of it. Okay, you don't have another note till 14. Never run to rotate and lead. That's just one of my principles. You see a lot of officials do it, and it speeds us up. And I just never like rushing on the court. I'm calm. I just want to be calm and collective all the time. And I feel like if we're rushing to get over and lead because we're fearful that we're going to miss something or we don't have two officials on the strong side, it's okay. Honestly, I've seen rotations hurt us more than help us in a lot of ways. Let's go to the next Google Drive. All right, you gotta fill in this blank space.
All right, let's see. Hey, how about this? I got tomorrow night. I'm doing the Lake Travis High School game, and they just broke the top 25 max preps nationally. So I'm excited about that one. It should be a fun game. It'll be a high level game.
That's like a 5A school.
Yeah, 6A.
And you're doing that already in year two. Is this how your second that? Year? Second year,
second full year.
Second season. It's great.
Yeah. Man, it's been a blessing. It's been fun. I'm just having so much fun. That's probably the craziest thing about this, man. I'm just like, I'm having way too much fun doing this. Being back out on a court has just been a blast.
And that's the perfect answer why we should do it. That's it. You won. You've won. There's nothing else to do.
I don't know about
besides
that,
continue but... to get better. No, but if you're that purely in love with it and you have that much fun, that's gonna scale and trend in the right direction as you go on this journey.
But yeah, no, things have been great. It's already crazy because I'm starting to get we're seeing it. I know you saw Cam start that Google Doc within the group too, but it's almost camp season. Right?
Did he start it already? The second one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's a great resource.
So that's great. But yeah, I'm already in kind of like planning out the summer mode.
Mm-hmm.
Which has just been.
Makes sense.
Exciting.
That's a measure of one's hunger level. when you're doing it mid-season.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll probably be – oh, yeah, please.
No, 8:30 Fallon transition. Tough to see your point of contact on film. I just want to hear your explanation as to why the contact was illegal. And you've been presenting crisp signals all game so far. Take me through this play.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I pick up blue 20. Right here, if you're looking right arm to shooter's right, kind of like arm elbow area is kind of what I had. So I'm, and then when I saw it, in my opinion, affect the shot, like it's, he has an easy layup. He kind of gets clipped on the right elbow shoulder right there, right arm, right shoulder. And it causes the miss. That's what I had right there.
And he didn't block the ball.
I didn't feel like he blocked the ball first. No, I felt like his arm kind of goes up through the elbow. Boom. And then it happens. So that's what I had as the point of contact there.
So I'm not here to debate calls. I like that your eyes were on the defender. Just lock in on that point of contact like a sniper. And if you feel like the contact occurred before the block or you were patient enough to process the entire play, you as a player know sometimes players are not going to shoot the ball off the backboard like that without illegal contact occurring. So that's good clues, context clues. We got another quick rotation. Remember to pause at the B position. Survey the court. Surveying the court, so you're determining what the offense is doing. What is this player doing? Where is this screen going? Where is this cutter going? Where's the post matchup going? Just all in one, like a snapshot of everything, and determine if you have to move at that point. And if you could say to yourself, I'm comfortable, I have an open look, then I would stay put. See, just too quick. You're immediately looking to rotate when you're in the A position. You've already made up your mind.
Yeah, that was so again, part of this for us was a pregame thing too. So number 22 on white was averaging like 20 plus a game. And we know their offense runs through him. So part of our pregame was if you're in the lead, pick up 22 in transition because they try and feed him immediately, right? And so for me, I was coming down the court, seeing him flash down the opposite side with the ball going that way. And so for me, I was looking for a reason to rotate, right? And watching through this stuff, I agree completely with you that I'm rotating too quickly, right? And so this has been great feedback to go, and I've definitely slowed down here in this like second half of the things that are going on, but
now this is a common thing that many partners talk about. You've heard me talk about not predicting players, matchups, games, teams, records, all that. Do you feel like having that information about, because when you said 22, he's averaging 22, I immediately wanted to say, who cares? Mm-hmm. I wanted to cut you off and say, who cares? But anyway, did that help you?
I thought yes.
How so?
And in my opinion, because I think it helps you know where to look, right? And so this is kind of my thing, right? Like, for example, if a team's running the Princeton offense, right, and I know they feed the high post to the left side, I'm immediately turning my head to the opposite elbow because I know there's going to be a dual guard screen. One person's going back door, one person's popping out to the three-point line. I'm looking for holds. I'm looking for anything the defense might do to prevent a backdoor layup, right? Like, I think knowing potentially the offensive team runs or where they go through or player tendencies is going to help you know where to look, right? And so because it, like you're saying, it's a new game. Not a lot of teams feed the post. But if there is a team that feeds the post, then you might want to rotate to strong side to get a best matchup in the lead for stuff that's in the post. So that's my personal personal thought.
Thank you for sharing what works for you. That's what it's all about. Got to find what works for you. Got to take the advice, the information, and you filter it. You filter it all. Good luck. You filter it. There's a lot of info out there, and it's a skill set. being able to sift through, especially as a new official like yourself, because you're hearing a lot of voices and you're still probably wondering what to believe.
There's a lot of that, but that's why I love being a part of this community, man. A lot of trusted voices, a lot of great things, a lot of good input, right? Because like you're saying, this is something that's in the CCM. There's a lot of it. It's both an art and a science, right? And so there's a certain level of science that you need to adhere to, but then there's a lot of art and there's a lot of things that like you need to do personally that work for you, right? To mm-hmm. Put yourself in a best spot to serve the game, right? So
there you go. Well said. You know you're going to be you're a spokesman for Crown Refs. You're one of our spokespersons. Putting you on staff.
I love it.
I made an ad out of that clip. It's actually I'm going to start sponsoring 10 high school, or excuse me, five. Actually, is it five or 10? I think it's five. Yeah, five games. Five high school games in New York City. Really good high school games. And they're going to do a segment on the broadcast. And it's going to be called Your Officials of the Game, sponsored by Crown Refs.
I love it.
And I'm also going to play the commercial two times. So I clipped that video I sent you, and that's going to run on the high school broadcast. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's sweet. I appreciate that.
Of course. Me too. You do a little giddy up right here. Once you notice the ball is on the other side, it was like a rushed, oh shit kind of giddy up. Like, oh no. Yep. If you have to do that, you're just either too late or you shouldn't have gone. And then equally, as we're moving and moving away from the play, I try to not have whistles when I'm rotating over, because I just find to be way less accurate when I do so.
Sure.
So what do you think of this play?
Agree with your comments, right? I think late to rotation probably could have just stayed away, because it would have been an easy call for the C. I think we missed a post travel right here.
Yes, agreed.
You know, it's actually something we agreed, because it's tough. Like, again, like you're saying, because I'm rotating, I don't see it, right? I'm moving, so I miss it, right? And then I just see the obvious contact on the arm, so I have a foul later on, right? I think this one's tough, because we miss a obvious travel that leads to a foul, right? And so that was one we actually discussed in the media and at halftime. So again, it's good input and good feedback about, you know, potentially if you're late and rotating, you just put the crew in a bad spot, right? Because there's a lot of things shifting when people need to be stationary and taking a look at stuff.
Good feedback to the feedback. The game just disappeared on me. Where'd that tab go, Grant? What did I do?
I don't know what to tell you, Paul.
All right, I'm going to have to reopen it, baby.
What's one next? Tidbit, Grant. I mean, please. They say your call accuracy drops when you're making calls while you're moving. Mm-hmm. So it's something to keep in mind, especially when you've got, you know, call close to the basket there. You want to be in a stationary position to make the correct call.
Sure.
I like that whistle, though. I think he did hit him on the forearm, right? That's where he had it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on the forearm. Yeah. The problem was, right, it was an obvious foul, but it shouldn't have gotten to that point, right? Like, we should have had the travel on it. But alas, travel wasn't called, and it was a foul, so.
And I know why you're going wide here, to step out of that stack, so that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good adjustment. Even though you're, you know, a little wide in lead, but it was appropriate for that view, I think. Let's see your mechanics reporting to the table. Good little trot. I think I commented, oh, little trip, almost trip.
Oh, yeah, stumble, those Air Maxes, stumble. Dude. The Air Maxes that got me, dude.
I've done that so many times with one pair of sneakers. I think it might be the same ones, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to get a new pair. I love the Air Maxes. I think they look great. They're super comfortable. But if I'm not intentional about picking up my feet, I will have little stumbles. I will have little stumbles.
Have you ever fell yet? I shouldn't say yet.
No, I haven't fell. I haven't fallen yet.
Great.
I haven't fallen yet. Thank goodness. Knock on wood, man.
I think I might have
fell. I haven't had anything too embarrassing yet.
Well, there's no such thing as embarrassing if you're confident and humble. Because that's Jokes. Just an insecurity of people's reactions. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Something I'm spending a lot of time on, Grant. Doing a lot of research.
Of being right?
In my lab. Of being right? I mean, we all want to be right. We all want to do what's right by people and get the calls right in life, so to speak. That's one great thing about officiating. It's made me want to just do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got a wave off before the shot. Looks like some strong signals, clear communication of what we had. Okay, could have had a grab there potentially.
Yeah, and that heightened me, right? Like that heightened exactly. me. I was like, yeah.
Did I write that? Do we need to stop this play? Even if the defender hits his arm, what's this, 6:15 or? Yeah, 6:15. Rush rotation? No, that's not it. Where are we at? So many timestamps. It's probably the 5-1, 5-minute one.
Yeah, 55:59.
Oh, so take me through it again. What were you saying about getting sped up?
I was saying, I think based on kind of letting the grab go, which could have been a grab on the entry, like an actual hold on the entry pass, I think I was a little heightened, and he was in it. Again, it was a smaller defender, right? And he was kind of, I would feel like, compensate. And we'd seen him a couple times already in the game at this point, almost at the end of the first half, being really physical and chippy and kind of like doing small things, right? So I'm watching him. We let the grab go. But right here, I see his right forearm as the guy like comes to a jump stop, kind of like shiver into him a little bit. Right forearm right here, like pushes up into him. And that's where I had the mm-hmm. foul on the ground.
I like to use my voice in the post. And if you even see him backing down, you could always say easy. You see him back down once and it looks like he's going back again. It's something yep. you could say enough, easy, you know? But, sometimes when we potentially miss something or there was incidental contact that we ruled to be legal and then there's something that comes up right after it, it speeds up our processing. So doesn't matter if you have 7 plays in one, be at the same speed for all of them.
Yep.
What was I saying about gap? Did you notice the gap of patience between the finish and the decide? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you were saying potentially like I knew we hadn't let the play out previously. Like I called on the shiver, right? Like I think that maybe when you're talking about the gap of patience, just like giving it a second to process how it affected the play, because he may have been able just to lay this thing up.
Right. Let's say we
like step through, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we just look at that play, turn the sound off, and no call it. You'd be like, everything's good.
Mm.
So we want to toughen your chin so you have a high pain tolerance as you move up, because that will happen as you start to ref bigger games, better athletes, higher, you know, plays above the rim, all that. And these are plays to be careful on, these block plays. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the game's least favorite calls, and accuracy impacts everything. So if we're not accurate, we're going to have to manage more. If we're going to have to manage more, the game's going to get harder. You're going to have to communicate more with the coaches. So it's just one thing impacts another, everything. We don't want to have those whistles that wake up an entire gym.
Yep.
Not to say this did. What I write, don't penalize legal defenders. One of the worst decisions we make. One of the biggest backlashes is calling fouls on great block shot plays. It's a momentum killer.
Yep.
Also, I said, I want you to stay far, capital far away from these plays, types of calls.
Yeah. Calling across the lane up top on a clean, on a block. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. 5:34, avoid being stacked. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of ran into that I anticipated the wrong. Yep. I thought he was going to drive catch it and drive baseline, and I moved the wrong way, got stacked, and missed an obvious travel. And this is bad because we also missed the obvious post travel, right? That led to a foul on the same side, right? So we were 0-for-2 and a late to 3-pointer, right? So we're in a spot where we miss a travel that leads to two free throws, and then we miss a travel that leads to a made 3-point shot, right? And so that was tough.
You like my little illustration with two Grants, one in correct position and one out of position?
It's phenomenal. Your Photoshop is tremendous.
Hey, the only thing better than one Grant is two Grants.
I don't know about that.
Come on, be confident, bro.
We're already in trouble with one.
520, another rush rotation, stop at the B position. We won't watch it, but I will reinforce it so you can get it through your head, my friend. Mm-hmm. This will be good. Have you already improved your positioning and lead?
I think significantly. I was watching my game earlier. So I did a game on the right before the new year, and I was watching that on the flight home from San Diego. I was out in San Diego visiting my girlfriend this for the new year, so I was watching the game on the plane back today, and I feel like I look a lot calmer, right? Like a lot smoother, like in a little bit slower and more control, right? And not moving too quick down there. So
I love to hear that, and that's honestly the purpose of this, is so you can get immediate results. So I'm glad it's been immediate. It's like a facelift.
Yeah. I think that's kind of been my biggest thing, is like I have this player energy. I want to be able to run fast and go do these things. And I think for me it's been like, no. You're in a different role now. You need to be calm, cool, composed, and slow at times and very intentional, right? And there are times to sprint and use what's still left of my athleticism to get in good positions. But I think I had been in the first half of this year, and definitely last year, too quick and too jittery, almost like just moving a little too fast, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's been good to see it, to watch it, and to try and, you know, be really intentional and conscious about adjusting that a little bit.
Yeah. And your speed is your strength, but knowing how to channel it. And yeah, obviously we don't need to go 100 miles an hour every single time, but running from trail to new lead, that's where we want to see the burners.
Yep.
So don't stop doing that. But yeah, you're right. Everything else is slow. I try to be almost on the, like, people might think I'm lazy slow, which is not the case, but like, that's how I want to move out there. I am not rushing anything. I'm going in slow motion out there. From the way I speak to my partners today, we had a technical foul situation, and we were about to wrap up the conversation after we discussed the administration of it. And I even took a second. I said, okay, partner, let's discuss this again. We'll just take our time. Say it again. Cause we had a held ball, and then we had a technical foul. Yeah. We sent the teams to their bench, and we're there, and we're going to, if this takes 1 minute, it's going to take 1 minute. If it takes 90 seconds, that's how long it's going to take, but we're going to get it right. And we're going to take our time. There's no pressure. The pressure is the negative self-talk that we put in our head or other people's voices. I'm noticing that your numbers are slightly too wide. Be mindful of the elbows not sticking out. And also, let's sharpen your A to B signal. Did you see my A to B signal in the video?
Yes, I did.
Is that helpful?
Very nice. Very Thank helpful.
You. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a little wide. Yeah, we could sharpen that baby up.
Hey, Paul, you guys are still running to the table for men's? I thought you guys were walking.
Who, me or everybody else?
I thought the mechanic was for men's to start walking and not.
Yeah, the mechanic gives the option. You now have the
option. Oh, gives you the option. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. It was funny as I'm watching this game. I was definitely a jogger to the table, like a much, much quicker pace. I've definitely slowed that down as a part of my overall, like, trying to slow down. I do a lot more walking and reporting now. But I'll still like do a brisk jog to clear if I'm like in the lead opposite table to kind of get out and around the players and then go from there. But
yeah, Grant, I mean, and I don't know what your aspirations are, right? But I mean, if you're looking to go pro by any chance, I would work on the walk. That's what they want to see. I mean, you're young enough. You could aspire to do that, but I don't know what your aspirations are. But
yeah,
definitely something.
No, for me, no aspirations to go the professional route. I have a lot of, as much as I love officiating, I always want it to be in addition to my day job. I like the career that I have. I like the lifestyle that it provides. And so I would love to maintain kind of the independent contractor, college route if possible. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. Throwing it out there.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely do.
What'd you do for it?
I'm in the residential real estate business. So
okay, nice.
I got out the military, so I was in the Navy for a long time. Got out the Navy and kind of started up in the residential real estate world, and kind of found my niche helping military officers move from kind of major naval base locations. So. Licensed in California, Texas, and kind of focused down in San Diego and up in right outside the San Francisco Bay Area in Monterey, California. And so been doing that, and it's been a blast. So having fun.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Pedro, and Grant is starting the Crown Refs of Army of Navy, former Navy serviceman.
I just founded a nonprofit organization. It's something I was doing a long time ago as a passion project, but officially kind of got it registered as an actual nonprofit organization and entity. So I have that. And basically the premise of the nonprofit is that we help support future midshipmen and their families. So it's basically a nonprofit to support the Naval Academy community, specifically like family members. So another fun little side passion project that I work on.
Nice, man. That's really cool.
Bro, you know who I think I would get as a guest? Who do you think? Who do you think I would say?
David Robinson.
Okay. That's such a layup, right? Did you get him yet?
I haven't yet. He's so high profile, right? Like
You can get to him.
Yeah, we can get to him. I met him once. He came and came back for one of the Army Navy games, which was fun, but definitely would love to have a conversation with him. He's a great guy.
Looks so nice. He looks just so nice.
He genuinely is super nice.
What a strength. He's a strong guy. Excuse me. Clean block. What do you got? 18 minutes.
So I had him in great vertical position. I have the left arm coming down with a body contact, kind of knocking him and not giving the shooter a chance to land. So I have vertical here, no whistle, and then I have the left arm coming down into him. That's kind of where I had the foul.
Take the specifics of the contact further and don't say body and give me a body part. Like he pushes forward with his shoulder into his chest. Like that would be.
Left shoulder coming through the offensive player's chest on the way down.
Definitely a play we wouldn't mind seeing another angle on, but definitely.
Yeah, we need that DV Sports seven angles.
Yeah. It's tough. It was a tough play. I remember this one again. I remember watching this and being like, oh, he's good vertical, like no play. And then it was kind of the follow through that brought the offensive player to the ground that kind of heightened my thought process there. And for me, it was the follow through the left shoulder into the offensive player's chest, which is what I had.
Okay. We will stay. We don't want to let's just say this and move on. We obviously don't want to penalize excellent defensive plays. Super athletic plays. So that's it. I don't know the answer on this one. I'm gonna trust you, partner. 943 ineffective rotations. Oh no, that's strong. Sorry about that. Just wanted to get your attention. I believe this is on segment 8, one of the 15 Google Drives you sent me. So thank you so much for that.
I'm just giving it to you how Synergy gave it to me, man.
Sorry, it's not on segment 8. Let's check out segment 9. I guess segment 8 had nothing.
I do like the segments, though. I will say, like, you can get the full length of the game without, like, all the raw video, but it's much easier when you get the segments.
Yeah, I don't have to fast forward through halftime and timeouts and stuff.
Yeah. What I end up doing is relabeling them all, like, quarter 1A, quarter 2, quarter 1B, and just that's how I break down my film and just keep going.
Synergy is great because it has what does it have, a 5-second fast forward?
Oh, I don't even use it. I use VLC. It may.
I love the option of 5-second or 10-second fast forwards versus like a 30-second one that happens on some players.
Yeah, I've been putting a lot of people on to VLC free software. You can download and you could done the whole film review here on it and done the 5-second forward to back. We can talk about it another time.
Yeah, you're like the account rep for VLC on our Discord.
They should be sending me like commissions at this point.
They should.
I just worked with Lance yesterday on it.
Oh, nice.
Your
boy. You guys got to plan that summer trip again.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, our kids are all about the same age, so it works out. It was a good time.
That was great. That's something I tell everybody that a prospective, a member. I talk about like the camps channel and us all meeting during the summer at different camps. And we even have officials that are taking vacations together with their families. Like that piece of information is like the best that I can share that. So I'm forever indebted to you and Grant and Lance.
And a few others, just name it.
Yeah, many others. Many others. I have so many friends. What a blessing, for real.
No, it's great. It's been a great network.
Yeah. So this is before you tell me how ineffective a rotation is, which I completely agree with, showing up to my first camp and Lance being there was like the biggest saving grace of my whole life because I was nervous, dude. Like, I don't know anyone. Like, I'm a snotty nose, like 1-year high school official showing up to this camp, and I don't know nobody, right? Like, I don't know a single soul. And if it wasn't for him just being like, because Lance is Lance. Lance got the juice, right? Like, Lance has got a little swag to him too, and just everything. So like, everyone's walking in, everyone's like, "Hey, Lance, blah blah," all this stuff, and like, he came and sat next to me and like, talked to me and like, calmed me down, man. Like, stuff is huge, right? This network is so critical and really started my summer off to a great start because I was definitely nervous going into it. So.
And you recognize that Lance had the juice and everyone else recognized that Lance had the juice. And then Lance respected your juice, which must have felt nice.
Yeah. No, juice may even be the wrong word. Lance got the sauce. The juice goes bad. You leave the juice to like, what I'm saying? Like, juice could go bad pretty quick. The sauce, you got barbecue sauce in there from 6 years ago. That still tastes good.
You're right about that.
Lance doesn't expire. That man's saucy. Yeah.
What a great differentiation of liquids that you just laid out.
Spot on.
It's the young kid, The young kid. He's got all the fresh lingo.
So this was just like, oh no, there's trouble. Let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And on drives, we want to stay put. Going away from you, you're not square too. So if you happen to go this late and you're going over mid rotation as the play's coming to you, just try to square up because you're looking over your shoulder here, not really accepting this play. You're more concerned about finishing the rotation when we need to be more locked in on the actual contact.
Sure.
Nothing. Good play on. Wow, there's a lot of bullets on 943. Let me just read them for everyone who's listening who can't see. On the strong side, in line with the ball, here are some positioning and rotating fundamentals. When we're on the strong side, let's be in line with the ball and in the A position. When the ball crosses the basket line, we close down to the B position. The key here is to be patient in the B position and get comfortable while you're truly processing the overall movement of all players. A couple non-rotation play types. Don't rotate on shots, passes, drives, rebounds, and screens. Just hold put. See what it does. Don't over rotate. Here are some great times to rotate in this to the C position when the ball settles on a side. Sorry about that error. Here are some times to rotate in the lead position when the ball settles on a side. Rotating to or with a key post matchup before the entry pass, almost like you're hopping in the cab. They're taking you over to the west side of town, and you're gonna ref the matchup on the other side. And when there are majority of players on the weak side. All right, 917, signal school, you beckon in the subs by using your hands only. Pull your hand to the head and keep your elbow 90 degrees. We discussed that. 916, signal school, I love your composure. I would like to see more command on your violation and number of shots. So let's take a look. I forgot what it looks like. This is the grain you're supposed to fill in this time.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's right. Too busy watching myself bring people in with fingers. Yeah. I'm interested to see. What's funny is it's been a little bit since I watched this game. I'm reading your comment here about the violation and number of shots. I don't remember calling a lane violation. I'm excited to watch myself do this.
Or maybe I just made it up and got it wrong.
It could be.
Because I look we'll at so see. Many plays.
I guess we'll see here in a couple of seconds, yeah.
Maybe this is a note from Pedro's past IPR. Is it after this? I think
it says 9:16. Yeah.
So probably got the timestamp wrong. Wouldn't be the first. Okay, lane violation coming up. Let's see. Good angle here.
Oh yeah.
I love your composure. I would like to see more command on your violation and number of shots as you correctly. Probably so. It was just a little nonchalant. I would just like a little more firmness with the articulation of what happened. Pop the arm out. Oh, let's go back. You know, we got rid of the punch in college, but the pending violation is a side punch. So, like, punch out.
I've forgotten about this
part. Held it. Missed it. Stop it. I would do the... Oh, no. For the shooter, I would do that he stepped over the line, but he wasn't a shooter. Mm-hmm. So you're good here. Pending. Stop the clock. I like even pointing to the player, and I might even report the violation on 20.
Sure.
Just to be proactive and not have to answer any questions.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Blue 20 comes in early. One shot.
That's smart. It's the first time I'd ever call in a lane violation in my life. I was off cuff. Off the top on that one.
Lance. Grant, you're batting 1,000. I have been mixing you and Lance's name up in my head lately.
That's the greatest compliment I could have ever asked for, Paul.
The structure of the name is similar. You know, you got the A in the middle, you got an N.
They don't even look the same. Like, I don't understand where he's getting them confused.
Bro, you got an A in the middle, you got an N after that. And then, you know, goes, then they go their separate ways.
Don't even sound the same. You couldn't even say, like, hey, they rhyme. That's why.
Grant, Lance. Grant, Lance. That sounds like a rhyme. They may not rhyme on paper, but if you make it sound like a rhyme, you can, Pedro. Come on. Um, 9:15. Oh, what was the final note? Don't sell the call by pointing to the spot where the player went out of bounds. Oh, yeah, so this is just getting the sequence of signals. Stop the clock, point the direction, point the spot. We've all done that. That's just a matter of slowing down and not selling the call. It's routine. Everything is routine. Mm-hmm. It's all business. All right, 8:02. We got a couple more left. Let's finish out. We're gonna hit them all up.
New segments, baby. Let's go.
New segment. Segment 10. So, 8:02, yeah. I'll read the note. Referee the defense. I'll read the note for our wonderful listeners. Referee the defense. Some major game takeaways would be to get your eyes to the defender sooner as a way to greatly increase your accuracy on hard plays. Maybe if you were more connected to the defender, you might have a different decision on the play where the offensive player leads and extends the elbow, forearm, and contacts the defender in the chest and neck area. Ouch.
This is such a nice way to say, you missed this call. I'm excited to.
Well, listen, it's all about being candorously kind. A lot of people, you know, the guy who keeps it real and, oh, he's a straight shooter. No, he's just not nice. He's just not nice when he gives feedback. So
that's
it's one of the strengths I hope everybody picks up on. It's a good skill set to have. Great skill set to have. Oh, okay. So what do you got? What was your viewpoint of this play?
Yeah, it is. I would say I have that to me right there is a block first. I think I could do a better job communicating, you know, block first. Cause it does look bad. Cause then there's a little bit of forearm up higher, but this contact right there, the initial contact to me is a block.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not in a legal guarding position. He tries to jump into the path of the offensive player and creates that contact.
Does he get hit in the chin or the neck?
I think like the collarbone.
Okay.
I would say neck. Yeah, low neck.
I forget who posted the other night, but I thought I had a good little tip, you know, because I thought it was a block charge play. The defender, I thought, lost his legal guarding position because he kind of pushed. He pushed the offensive mm-hmm. player who's coming at his chest. He pushed out.
Yep.
But at that very same time, and I'm saying to myself, this defender's not legal. But then at the very same time, we have a crash through. So the point was, if we ever have contact at relatively the same time, you got to mm-hmm. pick the one that weighs more, that's worth more. So just to that logic, I would say let's call the you know, the push off to the collarbone over, you know, the hip check, because I think it was so quick you almost needed to let the play breathe a second.
Sure.
Like, I see what you're saying. The defender got very close to his space and maybe wasn't legal, but I feel it gets trumped. It gets over. What do you think, Pedro?
Yeah, I think it's like a crash play, right? Like they almost like come at one another, right? At the same time, as the defender is approaching the dribbler is moving forward at the same time. Very, very tough play. And I think you were referring to a play that I posted. Very almost similar contact. And obviously the dribbler here goes through the defender as well. But again, I don't hate the call. I think it's a very tough play to make on the spot, and I understand your logic on like the severity of each contact. Right, that's what mm-hmm. kind of what you're leaning towards. But I think this particular play, it's what happened first, right? What kind of caused it? You know, I think the defender here really initiates that contact first, mm-hmm. and then you know. So, but again, it's one of those 50-50 plays.
Good feedback. I also feel that the offensive player got a little scared because the defender just ran at him, and I feel like he was a little premature. The defensive contact was a little, or he was premature because he felt he was in his space, and then he almost did it as a way to protect himself, but it wound up, in my opinion, being the illegal contact. So the big takeaway, very rarely do we have two contacts happening at one time. But recognize when it does, if it happens one more time this season, and I would recommend picking the bigger fish.
Noted.
I like how we finished there. 802, Signal School. Our signal shouldn't reflect our feeling if we like or agree with the call. Come with strength and pop on every call and always show confidence even when incorrect. On this call, it looks obvious that you don't agree with it. We've all been there. Cheap and one we don't like. Nonchalant, you could tell. Or at least I can tell. At least, you know, officials can kind of tell if you liked it. And that's just not something we want to convey to the audience.
It's funny because I think I don't disagree with it not having the same kind of pop. I think in the moment I liked my call, and watching it even after our discussion, I like my call. I think it's a block. I think it's a block. But I think, you know, the great feedback and takeaway from that is my presentation. Because if I'm going over there and it looks like, as we're watching it now, it looks like I don't even agree with my call, then
right there, the way you messed up. Just the way you hit the block, that tells me you don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, it's not the way you're going to signal every other block from here on out.
That's fair.
You know, like, just make it your go-to block signal right here. This is a bang-bang one. Step towards it. Boom. Like, that play, if you're going to go block, we got to see a good block signal, not a good block one that's going to leave us in question.
True.
Another signal school. We need more energy and professionalism. Uh-oh. Did I call you unprofessional? No way.
You did.
That's got to be my mistake.
Well, we've had these past couple ones, man. Unprofessional
was Paul's word of the season last year. he was slinging that word around.
I'm still slinging it, bro.
It's in my pregame. Well, professional. You know? I love our captains in coaches' meeting. Always, I always put it in there. You've talked about it multiple times. You know, I always ask the coaches, and honestly, I've seen them enough. I'm like, hey, coaches, you know the deal here, right? You know what we're doing here. Your players are properly equipped, ready to play. But, you know, let's make sure our communication is always professional and showing good sportsmanship. Is that fair? And they say, yep. And then I'm like, okay, yep, good luck. Mm-hmm. And I keep it nice and sweet, but I make sure I always put that in there.
Yeah, it's effective. It sets the tone. Not going to work every time. Did not work today for me, and I would love to tell you about it after we watch this last play. I mean, it worked fine for me. It didn't work out for them. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Well, last play, 204, you got a foul from Churrell. Way to stay solid and not let up, even though the game has been decided. Time and score is becoming less and less important by the minute, in my opinion. So just be right on every possession, no matter the time or score. Beat the film. Beat the film, beat the film, beat the film. Film has our back. If it's an open look or we have multiple camera angles like D7 Sports. If it's low grade film and we're stacked, then maybe we can't beat the film on every play. But you know what I'm saying. All right. Grant's last call, 20-point game, 2 minutes left. Yeah. That's a play that probably took an additional second to just see kind of he was heading towards the stands. Okay, he got shoved in his hip. That's what you had?
Yep.
Yeah, so did the captain's meeting today. I have a high school game, inner city game, kind of low level. Kind of inner city game. So that's the context. But I told that to the coaches, They gave me a very respectful look when I said, hey, we're keeping professional. You know, if you have a question, come ask us. But we just expect professionalism and respect and respectful communications. Gotcha. Yep, gotcha. 3 minutes into the game, the coach just screams at my partner, hey, ref, he's getting held. I'm table side. Boop. There was a split second. I'm saying, that's a warning. No. But then this is my brain has kind of intervened in a few spots this year where I was going to go warning. And I know one of the things I was trying to prove on this year is not give warnings to unsportsmanlike conduct. So I gave him a technical foul 3 minutes into the game. My partner, 3 minutes later, the other coach, there's a play in the lane. The coach starts screaming 3 seconds and like closing down closer to the lead and stomping his feet saying 3 seconds, 3 seconds. My partner just came with a technical foul. It was shocking to both coaches. It was shocking to everyone in the crowd. But like, these are plays that historically we either warn, we ignore. And I would feel like a fraud if I had just spoken to the coaches and say, guys, we expect professionalism and respect. And then 3 minutes later, you're violating that. And now I'm going to re-warn you again after that. So, and then we wound up having a double technical foul on two players. Then I gave another single technical foul to one white. That was his second. He was gone. And then 11 seconds left in a close game, we have another technical foul. Player gets fouled, and then the defender turns around. He takes the ball, and he fakes like he's going to pass it at his head as the player turned with 11 seconds left.
He has six technicals.
Is that six? Yeah, six.
Yeah, including the double tech. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, as soon as we got in the locker room, I brought my partner and I said, here, come, give me a hug. Get over here, give me a hug. I said, there's so much hate out in that gym today. And, you know, it was one of those games where it just felt like it was you and your partner versus the entire gym. So, yeah, we had a good laugh. We had an observer there, too. And he loved every one of the techs. And he was like, we don't give enough techs. He goes, I love every single one that you gave. So listen, what I'll say about that is don't let anybody in the crowd or on the bench or on the court rewrite the narrative of how you're refereeing the game. You know, there was times today where I'm hearing that's soft, or how could that be a technical foul? Shocked. And a younger official is going to be like, oh man, maybe I am being too harsh. Maybe I am being too soft. You know, like we just don't think that. And today was one of those games where I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm being too harsh for a second. And then so it was nice to hear the observer, like, you guys were spot on every time.
Yeah, I had a mentor who said it best to me. You know, once, you know, we all have different thresholds for, you know, how we deal with coaches or technical situations, right? But once that line's being drawn, and you drew it once you give that first technical, first 3 minutes, and then that should set the tone for everybody else. You know, I think a lot of officials won't then understand that the next opportunity, like that coach coming down and stomping their feet for that 3 seconds, is the next opportunity to give a technical. And here we are mirroring plays, right? You just gave that other coach for a tech. You have to give this other coach attack now, because the precedent has been set, the line has been drawn, and now we've set the precedent for the game. So you have to match in that particular situation. So I think that was great, great crew dynamics, and setting the tone early, and letting them know that, hey, it's not going to be tolerated.
Yeah, I was proud of my partner there. I almost think like he was obligated to call that second one, and maybe he might not have in another game, but it was like, nope, the bar's been set. Mm-hmm. We just teed him up. Now this guy's barking. It's got to be the same result. So it was good reps today. Good reps. Even the ugly ones are good. This was a great session, guys. Is there anything else you want to chop about before we say goodnight?
No, I appreciate this, and I'm super, super grateful for you, Paul, and Pedro. Thanks for joining us, and just the whole community in general, man. Like, again, for me, I've just been on I've been on a really aggressive timeline of this process and this journey, right? And with that comes just a massive way, amount of information that I need to process, from the science of it all to the art of it all to the amount of plays I see to all these different things. So to have people that help me parse it, to have people that help give me input, to have mentors in the space on all of this different stuff, like it's so tremendously helpful. And I'm so grateful to be a part of your team and your community. And like, it, just thank you, right? Like, this is fun for me. I love it. And just, it's the best. So thanks, man.
Pedro, could you close? You could probably speak best for me.
I don't have anything. I think Grant really hit it on the spot. I wanted to talk some other stuff, but chop more so. But
give me a chop. Give me something.
I'm with you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think Grant. I don't know if you commented or not, but I had posted several block charge plays, and I think I counted that game in total. We had like 11. Wow. 11 block charge plays. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like. You know, and it was just your, how do I put this in a gentle, nice way? You know, one team was just more athletic than the other, and the other team was not going to be able to hold up with them. So the team that was less athletic, we'll say, was trying to draw these charges. So, and we gave them a lot, I think. I mean, in looking back, I mean, I think we did a pretty good job on some of them, but I think we almost gave way too many offensive charges, and it like reinforced the behavior. So I was thinking from like a game management perspective, like would have putting more blocks on those plays maybe created less of block charge plays in the game, because they were just coming by the dozen in some place, it seemed like, right? The blue team was just looking to take a charge any and all times possible. And it may be just the way they're coached, right? So they were probably that behavior wouldn't have changed, but I felt like, you know, as a game management, so would that have helped?
You're saying put more blocks on just the overall block charge plays?
Yeah.
I want you to just want you to be right.
Right, just make sure that you're right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because whatever you call it, you're not going to sway, you know, your decision one way and it's going to prevent this contact from happening again, I don't think. Mm. I've never seen like, oh, the refs came out and called blocks, so that was the last crash of the game. I don't know if they process it like that, or we have that kind of impact. And for me, that's just kind of overthinking. Like if we have 11 crashes, great. I'm unemotional about that. Like, I'm accepting it. I'm ready to ref them all. I want to go 11 for 11. And if there's seven more, that's great. And it doesn't mean like, oh, this is an issue. We need to get it out of the game. Like, I don't know, a game with 11 crashes, that sounds like a fun game to work. I mean, I don't know. Does it? What's wrong with that?
I'll provide maybe just a counter opinion to that. I think please. Kind of in some of the games that I've seen, especially at the college level, right? Where I would say, again, high school, there are a lot of great coaches in the high school, middle school game, but you can assume that when you get to the college level, like you're going to have very well coached teams, right? And I think the games that we've come out and we put blocks on the first, maybe one or two secondary defender crash plays, we've had significantly, like this is all anecdotal at this point, but had coaches literally be like, jump, right? Like to go vertical. Like we've discussed this, like it's been part of the thing, and they're almost being coached to prevent those crash plays and jump a little bit more. Right. And so, just anecdotally, I've seen it where that's kind of happened, and it's taken away some of these crash plays that can be like, again, injury inducing type plays for offensive players, right? By having that. I've also seen, like, again, I would say it's weird in the primary defender with what we'll consider maybe like some embellishment of like, hey, I cut a player off and now I'm embellishing. If you put a block on that, like their coach is going to look at them and be like, dude, what are you doing? If you just stay up, there's no whistle and we're just continuing, right? And so, and I don't know. Yeah, it is tough because, again, much to Paul's point, at a certain point, a lot of these are just going to be plays that are just going to happen, right? And you need to officiate them just as they come. But I do think at large, a trend of more blocking fouls on crash plays will lead to less crash plays. in my opinion, right? Because it, because right. it leads to defenders being like, I have less of a chance of drawing an offensive foul, so I'm just going to jump, right? And so,
yeah. You think that has more to do with the new rule for the men's college game, where they have to be established before.
Just let me click in here. That's what I wanted to differentiate, because I know you're speaking probably specifically about NCAA men's, where the rule has changed a little bit, yeah. right? So mm-hmm. yeah, Pedro 100%. Has different rule sets, so just something to keep in mind.
Yeah,
but yeah. You make all valid points.
So sorry. Yeah, for anyone listening to, like, this was 100% based on NCAA men's rule set and opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think.
Pedro, your game was a high school game or women's?
Yeah, that was high school.
That's
true. I've called way more charges in high school games. Actually, I don't know.
I think there's overall less crashes. So for you to have 11, even on the high school level, I'm seeing just less crashes. Mm-hmm. So you had an anomaly that game, I think.
Oh yeah, no, I think so too. But I just knew, I couldn't wait to come back to watch the film, because I'm like, there was so many. And, I was just kind of like, I don't think I think we gave up too many offensive. And, looking back at the film, I think we did probably give them more than I thought, but we got a lot of them right. So I'm not,
What was your percentage out of the 11 that you got right, in your opinion? What do you think? 7 out of 11? 9 out of 11?
Yeah, I would say probably more on the 7 side. 7 out of 11. Yeah, because, I think, and it's just picking up that defender in time, right? And mm-hmm. clearly seeing that blue, that's what they want to do. So there's going to be embellishment. And then there was just, I thought, not enough, even a crash type play. Like, you could tell that the defender was already falling before they even got the hit. They were looking to embellish the contact. So to me, we could have just gone block on those. I think at the end of the day, it was a blowout, and not that that matters, time and score, right? We've talked about that multiple times. But I think, it was in their favor, to the team that was losing, right? We were, I wouldn't say we were helping them out, but we were, we weren't hurting the game in any sense by calling, mm-hmm. Offensive charges in their favor, I guess.
Everything else going well? Got any other topics you want to run by me?
No, man. Play sharing channel is rocking.
Rocking, yeah. Grant was saying that earlier.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, trying to get as many people on VLC and teaching them the tips and tricks, the clip plays, so we get more plays to talk about. I think the best part of that channel is learning from other people's mistakes, right? Or maybe not even mistakes, but just different play types to be aware of. And when it comes up in your game, you'd be like, no, I've seen this. I've seen this play. And I know how to adjudicate it, if that's, just based on what the play result type comes out to be. But I think that's the best part about the community, is just being able to have all these different examples and talk rules and things like that that will help you in your game. And we're all going into the second half of the season, and for us college officials, we're now going to conference play, where the game is taken up a few notches. And I think that we're all we all are better prepared for those tougher games to come.
Well said, guys. Appreciate your exchanges, your contributions tonight, and helping me learn as well. So I'm always a lifelong learner, and learning from you guys as well. So this was great. Great job, Pedro. Phenomenal work as always. And we'll touch base next week.
Love it. Sounds appreciate good. You, Paul. Pedro, pleasure, brother. Nice to meet you.
Hey, man. Nice to meet you too, man. Best of luck this season.
Likewise.
Peace, folks.
Keep grinding. See ya.
And if you're interested in joining our private community for officials, you can go to patreon.com/crownrefs, or you can email me at crownrefs@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to set up a one-to-one call to connect with you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs podcast. Serve the game.
All right, Johnny Gleish reaching out. We're going knee tucks. Comfortable feel. you know, easy to put on in the locker room before a game. I'll put them, hang my shirt up, put them on the shirt. Once you pop your shirt on, after you're done with stretching and warming up, you know, they clip real quick. You can have a little slide band to tighten them up and down. I like to go tight, just like a sneaker. When you lace your shoes up, you like it tight. It's going to loosen up after the game goes, as you run, as your muscles flex. And they never ride up. Some, you know, I've had good success with these, keeping my shirt in. When you're at the free throw line, watching the game, you don't want to be messing with your shirt, messing with your pants. Knee tucks are, you know, the way that helps us to not do that.